Again, happy Father's Day. It's a great day to celebrate for those who are dads and to honor our dads. And by the way, again, I just rejoice in Vacation Bible School. Thank you, everyone, for your part in that. Just a real blessing. Thank you for that good report and all that Nikki did to pull that together, to pull us together. So again, thank you. And thank you, Nikki, for your part in that. But again, Father's Day, just a great day to celebrate. When I was up, while I was pastoring in Fort Wayne, I was alone in the church building, in my office. It was kind of up some stairs, and it was a Saturday morning, and Saturday is usually very quiet and not too many people around, and the building was generally locked. And I heard some commotion down in the church basement. And I'm like, being the brave pastor that I am, I thought I'd better go check this out. And I go down the stairway and I ran face to face into a 7-year-old boy. And his eyes got as big as Frisbees. And he was like, I'm with my dad. And he ran, and I'm thinking, who's his dad? And so I followed the little guy, and I came face to face with the HVAC guy who had been servicing our system. But I thought it was so very interesting that little guy found security and safety in knowing that he was with his dad. He had a relationship with his father. You know, many of us can think of a time when we ran to our dads or looked to our dads for a time of security, for some encouragements, for some direction. I remember I was on the wrestling team, and once a year, they always had a school assembly. I don't know if they just wanted kids to find out more about wrestling. I don't know. But it was kind of cool. We had a school of 2,000 students, and we had a wrestling match. And I remember, you get kind of nervous. You know, you're in front of all these people. That's the biggest crowd, we would have. And I was like, wow. And I remember going out onto the mat, and I'm like, here we go. And I was one of the first wrestlers. I was just, short, skinny guy. And I looked up, and there was my dad standing at the door. I thought, yes, I'm going to take this guy. And the referee blew the whistle, and I pinned him in 19 seconds. My dad saw me. You can remember a time when you were just encouraged and comfort and found security in your relationship with your dad. You may have heard of this. It's called Dads Turn Out All Right in Time. At 4 years old, my daddy can do anything. At 7 years of age, my dad knows a lot, a whole lot. At 8 years, dad doesn't know quite everything. At 12 years, naturally, dad doesn't understand. At 14 years of age, my dad, he is hopelessly old-fashioned. 21 years, that man is out of touch and out of date. 25 years, he comes up with a good idea now and then. At 30 years, I must find out what dad thinks about this. At 35 years, a little patience on this matter. Let's get dad's input first. At 50 years, what would dad have thought about that? At 60 years, I wish I could talk it over with dad once more. As secure as many of us have felt in our relationship with our earthly fathers, just as that 7-year-old little boy, our earthly fathers are not always with us, are they? And some of you have experienced earthly fathers who frankly have let you down, right? Last week, Tyler preached a powerful message based on Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. To whom do you pray? And he broke down the phrase, our Father in heaven. Wasn't that good? Just simply, our Father in heaven. And he pointed out that because of our relationship with God, the believer has the opportunity to go before God, his heavenly Father, and say, Abba. Remember that? Abba. In our vernacular, that simply means daddy. Can you believe that you can go before God and say, oh, daddy? To God. Oh, daddy, I need you. I need your help. And that got me to thinking, on this Father's Day, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father, regardless to the nature of your relationship with your earthly father, here's our take-home thought, be encouraged by the security of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Regardless to what your relationship with your earthly father may be or may have been, because it may not have been or may not be ideal, but be encouraged by the security of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. Just like that little 7-year-old boy who ran to his dad for security. Every believer can run to his Heavenly Father, his or her Heavenly Father, for comfort, for encouragement, for strength. Every believer has been adopted into the family of God. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you are saved, you are adopted into the family of God. Now, think about the blessing of adoption. We have some children here that have been adopted. Some of you have been adopted. We have some parents who are adoptive parents. And I just got to thinking about that this week, and just the blessing of adoption. And you know, what's interesting is we don't think anything differently about our adopted kids that are amongst us, right? They're family, right? What a blessing that is. We have adopted children in our ministry. We have adopted children in our family. And they're family. They have full rights and privileges just as a natural child would be. They're adopted into our family. Listen, if you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from your sin and turn to Jesus for your salvation, realizing you're a sinner and you need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus who died on the cross, was buried, rose again. He provided that salvation for you, and you ask him to save you. You are adopted at that moment because you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died, buried, was rose again. You are adopted into the family of God with full rights and privileges, just as a joint heir with Jesus Christ, God the Son. Wow. You know, think about that. What a blessing to be a child of God. And when you fully comprehend the significance of that, there's security in that relationship. What I'd like to do this morning is learn concerning the security of your relationship with your Heavenly Father through 1 Peter chapter 1. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 3 to 5. We're going to be looking at the security of your relationship with your Heavenly Father. 1 Peter is a book that promises abundant life even if or when you experience hurt. Have you ever experienced hurt? It could be physical hurt. It could be the pain that you are going through. It could be because of circumstances due to loss. Just got a text this morning. I got a text while I was sitting there that a young lady that we've been praying for, and many of you have been praying for, passed away this morning. She loved God. She loved her family. 32 years of age, passed away. That family's hurting. They know she's with Jesus, but that family's hurting. Maybe you've gone through that kind of thing. Maybe you're going through that kind of thing. Could be circumstances. It could be loss. Could be church hurt. Some of you might be here because of how you were hurt in another church. Some of you are still here and you have been hurt here because of something somebody said or did. But I want to encourage you that regardless to these events in our lives, whatever the hurt may be, whatever the challenge, the difficulty you may have, you can be encouraged that you can run to the Father, as we sang about. You can run to the Father. You have a relationship with Him. He will not forsake you. Just think, you have a relationship with the Creator of all things. Think about that. Little old you and I, sinners, saved by grace. And if we're saved by grace, we realize I can go before Almighty God, the Creator of all things, and say, Daddy, I'm hurting. Abba. So when you're confused or even lost hope, be encouraged by your relationship with your Heavenly Father. I got to thinking about this, and I was thinking of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3. You might jot that down or take a look at it. But Habakkuk says in verse 17, chapter 3, verse 17. Now this is after three chapters of going, oh, Lord, I don't understand. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't understand how you're working. I'm so confused. It's not the way I would have done it. I need your help. And yet, even in the midst of all of that confusion and misunderstanding, Habakkuk says this, though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herds in the stalls. This guy is saying, even if or when I would lose everything, think about your situation. And the possibility of losing everything, everything, how would you respond? And Habakkuk, in faith, says, even if I would lose everything, everything. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. The encouragement there, my friend, is that if you would lose everything, He did not, you will not lose your salvation if you have a relationship with God, if you're a child of God, if you have been adopted into the family of God, you will not lose that relationship with Him. It's secure. The source, the foundation of your joy must be found in the fact that you have a relationship with God, that all is well between you and God because of His great salvation that He's provided for you. And because of that, you can still rejoice. I think of that little 7-year-old boy. He was sure happy to know that he could run to his father, stand behind him. I'm with my dad. I'm with my dad. And that big old ugly whatever he is isn't going to scare me. I'm with my dad. Right? So when you experience the challenges of life, you lose hope. Now remember, the enemy, Satan, is a liar. All right? He points the finger at you. He's the accuser. And he, as he said to Eve, did God really say? is what we're going to study here, is it really the Word of God? You will be tempted to think, really? Is this really what God says? And Peter is pointing out that if you are a true believer in Christ, you've come to Jesus in his great salvation, you are saved and you are protected by the power of your heavenly Father. So, everybody just take a deep breath and relax, because you're a child of God. So we want to look at some points of encouragement from this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. They give you the hope of a secure salvation. Follow as I read. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Here's the first point of encouragement, and that is salvation is based upon what God has accomplished. Salvation is based upon what God has accomplished on your behalf. All too many people look to religion. I have to do certain things in order to gain some kind of standing before God. That's religion. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about a relationship, right? We're talking about a relationship as a child with a father. So let's look at some provisions here in this passage. First of all, the first provision is mercy withholds what you deserve. Look at verse 3. According to his great mercy. Mercy is active compassion. According to his great mercy, he has caused you to be born again. You and I deserve eternal hell. That's what we deserve, just to be frank. That's what we deserve, every last one of us, because of our sin. The wages of sin is death. That's a payment. The payment for sin, and I think every last one of us could say, yeah, I'm a sinner. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve is eternal hell. You can see a criminal who is sentenced to death, lethal injection, and say, I don't want to die. Mercy, I cry out for mercy. Have mercy on me. He deserves eternal death. But if it is stayed or someone exercises mercy upon them, they're not going to die. The next thing is grace. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. If the criminal then was then set free, they don't deserve freedom. They deserve death. But the judge, let's say, has mercy. I'm not going to sentence you to death. I'm going to provide grace. I'm going to set you free. That's what Jesus did for you and me. Because of Jesus. Because of what he did. He took the penalty upon himself. Grace gives you what you don't deserve. And according to the text, God has given you three things. First of all, according to his verse 3, his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. He has given you new birth. In his mercy and through his grace, he's given you new birth. And a rebirth is referenced here. It was by God's will that you were born as a child. It's by his will that you were born again. John chapter 3, Nicodemus goes to Jesus at night. Aaron Burning during vacation Bible school taught this story. The children learned that Nicodemus, this old religious leader, comes to Jesus at night because he was afraid of what everybody else might think. I don't know. And he says, Jesus, we know you're a teacher who's come from God. And Jesus gets right to the point and he says, you must be born again. You must be born again. And Nicodemus, I mean, he's a religious leader. He says, born again? You mean I have to go back into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus is like, no, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say, you must be born again. He's talking about a spiritual birth. It's by the will of God. It's a new birth. And the second thing is a living hope. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again into a living hope, a lively hope that's alive, that's active. This confident expectation through resurrection of Jesus from the dead. A lively hope. If Jesus was raised from the dead, we can have the hope that we will be raised from the dead. That's a living hope. It's an active hope. This hope is founded in the fact that God can do the impossible. Think about that. Raised from the dead? Really? Raised from the dead? Yes. God can do the impossible. That's a living hope. That's a reality. And here's the third thing in verse 4. God has given you an eternally secure inheritance. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead into an inheritance. You've seen those big RVs going down the road and has a bumper sticker on it and says, I'm spending my child's inheritance, right? God doesn't spend your inheritance. The nature of your inheritance here is you're born again to an inheritance. Look at this. There's three words here. An inheritance, we're talking about security, remember that? An inheritance that is imperishable. Free from decay. It's eternal. It's enduring. It's not dependent upon the ups and downs of the stock market. You know, you think back to, you know, here recently when the stock market was going, you're going, right? You know, like, what's going on? It's not dependent upon that. It's imperishable. Your inheritance is imperishable. It is undefiled. It's not like mob money that might have been gained through violence or fraud. You think of, every once in a while, you see pictures of a drug bust, you know, and they have guns and drugs laid out on the table, and then they have this pile of money. And that money is no longer any good for the perpetrators. It's defiled. It's no good. It's drug money, right? Your inheritance is not undefiled. Your inheritance was not obtained dishonestly. So it can't be threatened. It can't be taken away. Those criminals cannot enjoy that any longer. It now becomes the government agencies that seized the drug money. That can't happen. Because your salvation is undefiled. And then he goes on and he says, it's not only imperishable and undefiled, it is unfading. It can't be taken away. This is the only time this word is used in the New Testament. A year ago, in about February, Teresa went down to Florida to spend some time with her sister. And I was home, take care of the place, and we had life group, and life group comes over, and we had this poinsettia on the dining room table, and they're like, Pastor Dale, are you supposed to water the plants while Teresa's away? Ooh. Well, she didn't say anything about it. And we looked over at that poinsettia, and it was like, I mean, it was like, oh, no. And when she came home, sorry, Teresa, it didn't make it. It was faded. It faded. Listen, my friend, your salvation doesn't fade. It's imperishable. It's undefiled. It is unfading. Your eternal inheritance cannot wither. It remains full and vibrant for eternity. Just as an adopted child of God, just as an earthly adopted child, you gain the full rights and privileges of an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. That's love. God so loved you that he gave his one and only son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish, but have everlasting life. You have the opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. We also see that salvation is secure because of God. Salvation is secure because of God. And what he is doing now for you. Here's what the text says God is doing for you right now. Verse 4 again. He keeps your inheritance. Remember, it says, according to his great mercy, we're born again to a living hope through Jesus Christ raised from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Not by you, but for you. The word kept there means to be guarded from loss or injury. God keeps an eye on your salvation to prevent you from loss. It's like a full military fortress guarding. Fort Knox. Greater than Fort Knox guarding your salvation. Your inheritance is only guarded by the omnipotent, all-powerful God of the universe. Wow. And here's what else the text says. It says, by his power, he guards it through faith. He guards you through faith. Who, by God's power, now, the word power there is a word from which we get the word dynamite. By God's dunamos. Are being guarded as a sentinel through faith that's relying upon Jesus for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. One commentator, his name is Albert Barnes, he has a series of notes on the scripture, and he says this: the meaning is that they, the Christians, were weak in themselves and were surrounded by temptations, and that the only reason why they were preserved was that God exerted his power to keep them. The only reason which any Christians have to suppose they will ever reach heaven is the fact that God keeps them by his own power. Aren't you glad that it's not dependent upon you? Because you know what? You fail, frankly, and so do I. We blow it. We mess up. We sin. And God is not this cosmic killjoy that just goes... Too bad, so sad. No, I mean, praise God, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? Amen. Wow. Salvation is secure. Here's the final point, and that is the security of salvation results in blessing. Security of salvation results in blessing. Three blessings. First one, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Blessed. The word blessed is the word from which we get the word eulogy. To speak well of. We're going to speak well of God. The first blessing is praise. That's what we do when we sing praises to God. And I trust that even right now in your own heart, you're saying, God, thank you. I praise you for what you are doing and have done because of my great salvation that you've given to me. So praise, here's another blessing, and that's verse 3. He has caused us to be born again into that living hope. It's hope. You have hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He was the first fruits. Because he was resurrected, you too, as a believer, will be resurrected. That was Abraham's hope. He took Isaac up to the altar, and he was ready to kill his only son, Isaac, believing, Hebrews says, that if he killed his son, that God could raise him from the dead. You know, isn't that great? That was his hope, the hope of the resurrection. I think of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going through the fire. And they believed that even if they would die in the fire, they would not deny God, because they knew that God was watching over them, that God was with them, and God saved them through the fire. This is amazing. When I was preparing this very point, I was writing this down concerning Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I heard Pastor Nate whistling in the hallway. We just sang that, right? How firm a foundation. And verse 4, listen to this, verse 4 says, when through fiery trials, I'll spare you, thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Isn't that awesome? That's hope. That's the hope that we have in him. And then the final blessing is confidence or stability. Verse 5. And that is a readiness at his coming. Who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed. Ready to be revealed as if we didn't know what this was because there was a covering over it. And went, whew, there it is. It's ready to be revealed in the last time. The word last time is from the word we get eschatology. It's the end times. Ready to be revealed at the last times. That's our hope. And because we're looking to Jesus, we can have confidence. We can have stability. When I was, again, in Fort Wayne, we lived in a neighborhood, and there was only one entrance in, one entrance out. And it was a safe place for us to ride bikes with the kids. And I was riding bikes with my two kids in the back, one of the back in the neighborhood. It wasn't a big neighborhood, 84 houses back there. And we were riding. I said, let's go. So I started kind of going real fast. And so they tried to go real fast. And our daughter hit some loose gravel, the real fine gravel. And she oh, Daddy, I stopped and went back. She flayed the back of her hand. I mean, it was like, oh, no. And she's sitting there, oh, Daddy. Oh, Daddy. And I'm like, and our, you know, we lived down there, and I had to get her to the hospital. I didn't, and you might think bad of me, but I'm just, and no, our son was 4 or 5 at the time. I said, stay with her. I gotta go get the car. Talk about, I had to leave her to go get the car, to take her to the hospital, to get Teresa. But as I was leaving, I said, just stay here, honey. I'll be back. I'll be back. And I came back. But one of the reasons we have confidence in Jesus is because he says, I'll be back. My friend, this life isn't all that there is. Jesus is coming back to be revealed at the end times. while we were taking her to the hospital, we were saying, it'll be okay. Daddy's with you. Mommy's with you. We're not going to leave you. We're taking you to the hospital to get attention, but we will stay with you. That's what you have in Jesus concerning your great salvation. And let me encourage you that it's a little bit different. Father's Day message. You know, sometimes we come at fathers and say, here's what you need to do, guys. Honor dads that do this, you know. But I thought, man, let's talk about our great God, our Heavenly Father, and who He is, and to rejoice in the security of your relationship with Him. So as you celebrate dads today and you honor dads today and you're thankful for dads as you have opportunity to do that, may this day cause you, and if you don't have that opportunity, may this day cause you to think, you know what? I have a secure relationship with my Heavenly Father, and all to His glory. Amen? Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for all that we have in you, our Heavenly Father. We're so undeserving, and yet we've learned of your mercy and your grace. We've learned of your security, that our salvation is kept in heaven for us, not by us. Our salvation is protected by your almighty power. It doesn't perish, it doesn't spoil, it doesn't fade away. And we rejoice in that. And help us to even rejoice in the fact that if we would lose everything, which I pray that we don't. I pray that we don't. But even if we would, that we would rejoice in God our Savior. Encourage hearts with these truths here today. There may be someone who's just wondering, can I lose my salvation? Just encourage them with these thoughts here today. Strengthen them. Bolster their faith. And may that be a motivation to continue to live faithfully, not just coast and say, oh, whew, thank you. But just to live faithfully for you, to your honor and glory. But may it also help the individual who does not have that relationship with you, or that individual who has strayed from you and needs to come back to you, to realize what they're missing because of not having a relationship with you as a Heavenly Father. So draw every heart unto yourself, and may you receive that glory here today. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here today and you would like to talk with someone about the security of your relationship with God, you're not sure of that salvation, I'll be down front here while we sing. Say, I need to talk to somebody. We'll have someone take you aside and pray with you and talk with you. Or after the service, I'll be in the welcome area and say, I need to talk to somebody about my salvation or whatever questions you may have. And we'd be glad to take you aside and talk with you about these things. So don't hesitate. Don't go from here without questions being answered. We want to help you. Thank you, Lord. Encourage our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.